Blog Talk Radio.
Speak the phone. So we're gonna catch the phone. So Jen. Hi, this is Roy Paul for the Gift of Freedom. We are on site at the 145th anniversary of the Steele family reunion here in New Jersey. We're going to be hearing from members of the Steele family in just a second. We've got Reggie Steele and Sam Steele who are going to be giving you an insight on this historic family, how they came to New York, and what they're doing to preserve the life and legacy of the Steele family. You can remember that this show is sponsored by Audible.com. You can listen to this show in any way that you wish, including how you're listening to this podcast at this moment. For a free 30-day trial, please go to www.blackhistoryaudiobooks.com, www.blackhistoryaudiobooks.com. Roy Paul for the Gift of Freedom. Hi, so I'm joined with Sam Steele. Thank you for joining us at the Gift of Freedom.
Go ahead, Paul.
All right, so thank you for joining us. Why don't you give us a brief history of the Steele family and how they came to New Jersey?
Okay, well, first, my name is Samuel Steele III, and my great-great-great-great-grandfather was Samuel Steele, the older brother of Dr. James Steele and William Steele. Levin and Charity Steele came from, they were enslaved Africans. Levin bought his freedom for $500, and Charity Steele had to escape twice. The family settled in the Pine Barrens in New Jersey, Chemung Township, off of the old Stokes Road in Memphis and Chemung, and they had 18 children. And my grandfather was the actual last, my father and my grandfather were the last family of Steele to live on the old original plant homestead of the Steele family.
And how did you learn about your family history? Was it passed down from generation to generation, or did you research it?
It was passed down from my father and also by reading the books of the Underground Railroad, Dr. James, the early recollections of Dr. James Steele, and kidnapping a ransom, and also going to different family reunions that used to be held all through the state. There used to be one in Vineland, one in Lawnside, and one in Mahali, New Jersey.
Yeah. Now, before we did the interview, you actually mentioned something that I think was very critical to African American history. And you talked about the fact that when parts of the family that is now known as the Steele family came here, there was already a Steele family in existence. Can you tell me that story?
Well, there was already Stilles in the area. If you go back and check some of the history, there was also Stilles who were Indians, too, that were in the area. I believe what happened, this is only my opinion, I think 11 of Charity came through the old Snow Hill Plantation, and they adopted the name Steele, because, again, they were newly freed Africans. So they adopted the name because Charity was a fugitive. They took on the name, and they had to hide out in the Pine Barrens in order so she wouldn't get recaptured.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and then they ended up adopting
the
name, as many families have done.
Yeah. And what has happened is that we've all kind of come together because, you know, some of the history, you know, it's hard trying to keep the history all together. So we all come together. We all try to work as a family together.
Yeah. So I'm here on site at the 145th reunion, and there are a lot of people here. Talk about what you guys are doing to preserve the legacy so that the younger generation can kind of understand the history.
Okay, well, all of us have kind of worked on different things. Well, what I'm currently working on right now, I've joined up with the Medford Historical Society in Medford, New Jersey, who have been given the caretakership from the state of New Jersey to oversee Dr. James Steele's property that the state has purchased. We put a historical marker out there on the site, and that's out on Church Road in Medford, New Jersey. His medical office is still there. Thought is that we're going to restore the medical office. And they've also bought the farm that was next to it. And the farm that was next to it, they're calling at the Dr. James Steele Education Center. And we're doing a Pine and Jazz Festival September 13th. We're raising money for the center, and also raising money for some other good charities in the area. And the thought is, we're going to, you know, keep talking about the Dr. James and his legacy, and how he worked with the herbs and the medicines, and just his whole story. It's a fascinating story of history for an African American at that time. Dr. James still was one of the wealthiest landowners in Medford, New Jersey. At that time, and it was just a really phenomenal, the story's phenomenal. So that's what I'm doing on my end of it. And I also give presentations, and I went out last year to the John Hines Center in Pittsburgh and gave a short presentation on William Still to talk about the family history.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that most people who come to the family reunions every year, especially the younger people, really understand the significance of what you're trying to do in terms of preservation, not just you but other members of the Still family?
Some do and some don't. I think what we have to try to do is make sure that, you know, the fortunate for our family is that because of the three or four books that were written by those men at that time has really helped us keep our history together. So, yeah, I think that my biggest thing is to make sure that younger people understand, you know, the significance of their history. And I think some don't, and I think there's some do. And what I'm really trying to get people to do is, you know, some of it's research, and go back and try to, you know, find your lineage, and then find the stories that haven't been written about. You know, there's no stories written about charity. We got to find some information on the other parts of the family and tie it all together.
Mm-hmm. And for those who want information online or on the web, you have a website. How are you compiling this information?
Couple different websites. I don't know right off, all of them off the top of my head. Right now I know that there's if you look up the Dr. James Still Education Center, you'll find some information there. And there's some other websites going on, but I couldn't tell you right off the top of my head right now. I don't have one personally myself. I am working on one because there needs to be a central one, and I'm planning on making a central focal point for the family history.
Yeah, that was actually something I was just going to follow up and suggest. That, you know, if there's a way that you can kind of compile different pieces and put it all together in one place. And it's a great marketing tool as well. You know, whenever you mention the Still family,
yeah,
whether it's a family reunion, you can just put the website there.
Yeah, there was other websites in the past, but I don't know what happened to them. There was a gentleman out in Ohio that had one. He was part of the Stills out of Vineland and some other stuff. But right now, the past couple of years, we haven't had one. So I think part of what I want to give back to legacy is getting involved in that. You can also find stuff about him if you Google Jacob Chapel AME Cormantown Cemetery. That's where Dr. James Still is buried right now. He's there. He also went to church there. So they have some information on Dr. James Still as well. They also do a reenactment of Leaven of Charity. I think it's every third Saturday. At Jacob's Chapel. It's a really moving piece to see. You could probably Google Pastor Terrell Persons and find some more information because he's a pastor at that church.
Okay. Thank you so much, Sam Steele. Now, what I want to do is pass the phone over to Vicki Steele to get her perspective on some of the family history.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so now we're joined. Now we're joined by Vicki Steele, another member of the Steele family. I want you to give us your perspective on the family history and some of the key sticking points that you know of as it relates to the family history.
The key sticking points that I know is that the family was audacious. I mean, they done things that no one else would usually do, and they took risks, and they accomplished what they had to do.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm told that you created a documentary. Can you tell us about that?
The documentary is called Still Family, Bridging Gaps, Connecting History. And it's my memoirs of me being a Still and how I felt about being a Still and what I learned later on in life, the conflicts of my family. And you can get the documentary by emailing bridging_gap_connectinghistory@verizon.net or Billy Still@ALA.com is BILYST I-L-L, numeral 4, the lowercase u, at AOL.com.
Okay, and we'll be sure to put those emails on the link to the site so that people can go ahead and email if they're interested. I want to ask you, because you've done a lot of the documentarian work, historian work with the family, do you think that many of the family members that are here today, especially some of the young people, really understand why you guys are trying to preserve the history and what you want to impart on them?
I think they do. I think they're starting to pick it up because the schools are bringing in guest speakers and talking to them about that. And also there were some documentaries on the television, PBS and what have you, and a lot of parents made their children sit down and watch that. Then also when they came out with 12 Years a Slave, they, like, in reference it to William Steele helping Underground Railroad with Harriet Tubman. So that made a lot of things more clear for the children to pick up.
Okay. So now what I want to do is pass it over to Reggie Steele so that I can get his perspective on the family history.
Reggie Steele. Here he is.
Hi, Reggie Steele. So I want to get your perspective. What do you know about the Steele family history?
Oh, well, I'm the baby of the family here in Lawnside. My father, Clarence Steele, his father was a Clarence Steele, whose father was Charles, then another Charles, so we've got a lot of duplication here. His father was Edward, William's brother, the son of Charity 11.
Okay.
But
how did you come to learn about the family history?
Well, mainly my father, he was collecting stuff and here and there, and I would just see a lot of things, and it's kind of like it just kind of grew on me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started reading stories about how 11 was whipped 317 times and dying a week later just had Peter say, "I'm not going to die a slave. I'm out of here." yeah,
right, there's that resilience of the family that a lot of people talk about. A lot of resilience and strong will.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, the house that we're in now for the family reunion, talk about the significance of the house and the owners. I know that there were two pictures up about the father and the son that passed away. So for the history of modern-day history of this house, tell us about it.
Oh, I was very little while my father was building the house. He built it by hand. And it's been here forever, and it's been kind of a staple for a lot of folks here in Lawnside. The significance, well, my father, he was just involved with absolutely everyone. And people used to come here and just enjoy the hospitality. My mother always had a pot on for everybody. I was a musician for a long time. And one of my bands, we were driving from Mississippi up to McGuire. And I decided to stop by the house on the way up. It was 11 at night, and my mother immediately put some rice, chicken, and they were just giggling. And she does things so quick.
Mm-hmm.
My family has always hosted everybody here in Longside.
Right.
We've always had house guests.
And when did they pass away, the father and the son?
My father was 2012, May of 2012. My brother passed away April 2013, less than a year apart.
Less than a year, wow.
Yeah, and just seeing the pictures up here, every time I walk past the pictures, I get choked up thinking about it. Because my brother was supposed to be here doing this, and I have a house in Hampton. My wife is in Hampton right now.
Yeah,
she wasn't able to make it up.
I'm sorry to hear that, and you know, we all share in the sorrow and the sympathy for your family going through that.
Oh, thanks.
So now what I want to do is pass it over to the female who's going to be doing the reenactment.
Oh, I thought you already spoke to her.
But no, the lady who's sitting down there in the chair.
Okay, here she is.
Hello?
Hi there. So it's my understanding that you're going to be... It's my understanding that you're going to be doing a reenactment.
Well, I used to do a reenactment of Mary Elizabeth Bowser.
And who is that?
She is an ex-slave and a Civil War hero. You never heard of her?
No. How did you come to do a reenactment of her?
Well, I ran into her sort of by accident looking for black history of people I didn't know. And I came across her name, and so I started studying her. And I found out that she was born around 1839 because nobody's really sure because she was a slave and they didn't keep records. But she used to be a slave for the Van Loo plantation. And when I found out about her, I just started studying the Civil War more than I ever did in my life because nobody knows too much about her. So I had to build a life around the historical aspect of it.
Right. And what were some of the key points that you wanted to bring out in this reenactment? How did you learn
about
the tone
of her voice?
That
she was an educated. Can you hear me?
Yes. How did you learn, like, the tone of her voice? How did you decide to dictate how she was in present day?
I decided to do her like an educated woman because eventually she became educated because she was very smart. She had a photogenic memory, and that's why her slave owner, and I should say ex-slave owner, because her slave owner saw how smart she was. And her slave owner had gone to a Quaker college, and she became an abolitionist. So she decided to use Mary Elizabeth Bowser to spy on the Confederate White House. And that's how they got information to the North. Because Mary Elizabeth Bowser would memorize a lot of the different things that were being discussed, the maps, the strategies and all, at the dinner table of Thomas Jefferson. And she would give that information to her ex-slave owner, Elizabeth Van Loo.
Okay. So now I'm curious now. I'm dying to hear this reenactment of how you portrayed her.
My name is Mary Elizabeth Bowser. I really don't know what year I was born. As you know, slaves did not know what year they were born, but they figure about 1839. I was working on the Van Loo plantation as a little girl. And it was so many different duties that I had as a little girl slave. And one duty I had was to take care of one of the residents' little boys. And I would have to take him to the little old schoolhouse for the white kids because there was no school for the black kids. So I would stand outside and listen to the lessons, but being that we were thought not to have brains, they didn't know I was actually learning the same thing that the white kids were learning, but I had to keep it to myself, because in those days, if they knew that you knew how to read, you can die, you can lose your fingers, you can get your tongue cut off, so I just kept it to myself. But my master, Elizabeth Van Loo, sort of knew that I was a very intelligent woman because she kept watching me. She went away to school and came back. And then her father was dying, and so he decided that he would free all of his slaves. And that's when I went to the Quaker School for Negroes in Pennsylvania, which is now Cheney State University. And when I decided to come back to that plantation, that's when Elizabeth Van Loo, my ex-slave owner, and I decided to spy on the Confederate Army. And that's how we kept giving information to the North, and that's how they won the war. And I really go deeper into it now when I'm acting it out.
Bravo. Good for you for not only that rendition, but for wanting to do something that revolved around history, that gave back and taught others about history. Good for you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. It's really about 15 or 20 minutes long, and I dress up and everything. So I enjoyed her. I enjoyed her. And then I went on a trip with Genesis, the African Genesis organization, because I was getting ready to go to Egypt, but it got so bad over there, I decided not to go. But they took us to Richmond, Virginia, which is where Mary Elizabeth Bowser was from. And mm-hmm. we did oblations for our ancestors, and we had to call out our ancestors' names, and she was the one that I called out, and my father, because he's from Virginia also. But it was like she wouldn't let me sleep. And she wouldn't let me sleep, and that's when I started building a story around her life. And now there's a novel out. Some white lady wrote a novel about her. So people are starting to get to know her because the military honored her for being a hero for that war in 1997. But her family knew a lot of things about her because back then she was considered a spy. So they were afraid that they were going to retaliate against the family. And so the current family is like, they didn't know how important that was to remember. So people just build stories around her according to what was happening back then.
Mm-hmm. And is there a website where people can go to get information on the work that you're doing regarding her?
No, it isn't. And people do tell me that I should do that, but I never did. But that's
okay.
A thought. You know, it's... That's a thought. I have to think about that.
Or even maybe a YouTube clip.
Well, you know what? If YouTube comes up again, I'm a YouTube person, and I'm also in another business right now. So, you know, they're trying to motivate us to get used to YouTube and different social networks to put out what we do and different things like that. So since you're about the second or third person that said that, I'm going to have to look into that.
Please do. I think sometimes what gives people within arm's reach of this history is being able to go online or Google it. And, you know, the internet is so funny is that sometimes when you don't even type in the name of someone, Mary Bowser, but you type in, you know, Cheney University history or females history, Cheney University, or if you're Googling Cheney University and this may pop up somehow. And so, you know, the internet is not it's so miraculous that you don't even have to be searching specifically for something, but you stumble upon
that's
it because of the search engine picking
that's
up. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so, you know, the same way you found about her, other people can learn more about her and find the work that you're doing about her if it was somehow searchable on the internet.
Right, you're right. And one of my friends came to a church. Well, she was at the church event, and she didn't know I was going to be there. And she taped me doing my performance. Yeah, that's about 15 minutes long. I need to put that on YouTube.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, so I thank you for your time. Now I want you to pass the phone over to Donna Young.
Okay, and thank you very much.
It was a pleasure.
Hold on.
Hi, this is Donna Young.
Donna Young, I am told that you are the organizer. That's your nickname.
One of the organizers for the Still Family Historical Committee Incorporated for our family reunion, the Still Family? Yes.
Yes, and tell us how you got involved with the project.
Well, my mother is Still. She's a part of the Still family, and her name is May Still Young, and her cousin, Alfred Fisher, who is the co-chairman of the Still Family Historical Committee Incorporated. He, and along with Malcolm Still, are the co-chairmen, co-chairpersons. And one day we were at church at Mount Pisgah for one of the services they were having there. And I met Cousin Al at that time, and he asked me if I would be interested in becoming a part of the Still Family Historical Committee. And I said I would, and I started attending the meetings. And the rest is history.
Mm-hmm. And as you guys gear up towards the 150th anniversary, which I'm sure will be a big hit. Have you guys started to plan about what things you would like to do to memorialize that historic year?
Not really. We have some ideas and some thoughts. We haven't really put them out on paper as of yet, but we want it to be a really big celebration. We'd like if we could have a play done about the Still family and put that on here at the reunion. That would be a something that we would love to do, I think.
Mm-hmm. I was talking to some of the other people that I was interviewing today, and I asked them one question that I thought kind of created the tone for an event like this today. With the mixture of ethnicities and ages that I see represented here at this family reunion, do you think collectively people really understand the history of the Still family and what you guys are trying to do to pass that down? I mean, it's great that, you know, everyone's come together and there are a lot of people here, and, you know, and the food is delicious. I had some of it. But do you really think that they understand what the purpose is, you know, outside of all the other things going on here?
I think a lot of them do. We have a lot, as you said, adults who are in the midst of this reunion today, and a lot of them, of course, know the history, and that's why we felt as though it was very important to get our teenagers and our young people involved so that they know the history, so that they can pass it on, and it doesn't stop here. And it's really important, so we wanted to have, that's why we had Mr. Keith Henley portraying Dr. Jane Still and sharing the history with the young people so that they know, and then we wanted him to ask questions to make sure they were listening so they could repeat and understand and keep and, you know, take that on with them as well once they leave here and to become more interested in their history because they're the future. So if they don't know the history stops here. So
right.
They need to know and remember and keep it going.
Absolutely. Now, I'm wearing a T-shirt that says from a Guinea prince, of course, Guinea, West Africa, here to now New Jersey. Do you know the history of that Guinea prince and how he came over?
No, just that he was one of the many slaves that was brought over across the seas and, you know, worked for those people who had enslaved him, so to speak. I don't know a whole lot about him other than that.
Mm-hmm. And I was told, and I was doing some research, that when the family now known as the Steels originally came over, that they took the name from an existing family who had the Still name. Is that true?
That I'm not sure about. I'm really
okay.
Not sure about that.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
Sorry. No, you can finish the statement.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask you to pass the microphone over to the other reenactor.
Mr. Henley. Keith Henley.
Mr. Henley.
Hello.
Hi, Mr. Keith Henley.
Hi, how are you?
Excellent. How did you come to be a reenactor for the Stowe family? Did you just get picked out of a lineup?
No, I know Donna. I've been knowing Donna for years, and she's been asking me to come to the reunion for a couple of years now. But unfortunately, every time she asks me, I've always been busy. And then it just so happens that my family's reunion is on the second Sunday in August. But we meet every other year, whereas you guys meet every year. So this is my year off. I was going, oh, let me see if she needs my help. And we were able to hook up.
So it's one step removed from a lineup.
I beg your pardon?
So it's just one step removed from a lineup.
Yes, just one set.
All right. And who exactly are you reenacting?
I am Dr. Jane Still.
And who is Dr. Jane Still, for those who don't know?
Well, Dr. Jane Still is the he's known as the Doctor of Pine Barrens, and he's actually the founder of the Still family reunion. The reunion actually started in 1870 in his home with whatever brothers and sisters and families that were available, were still living and in the area of New Jersey, and they all came over to his house, and they broke a bottle of wine, and they sat down, and they talked about the good old days, and talked about mom and dad, and they afterwards they decided that they would meet every year to you know, just keep the family history going and to tell the stories of the family and just meet. And that's basically how the reunion started. And that's basically why, I guess, why Donna asked me here, because this, they were focusing on Dr. Still's life this year.
Mm-hmm. Now, I was listening to your questionnaire, if you will, trying to engage the audience in some of the history. Assuming that our audience is not able to participate in that skit, there were three questions that you asked. Can you go through those questions and give us the answers for our listeners?
Yes. The what year was the reunion started at Dr. Still's house, and the year was 1870? The next question was, what were the parents, what was Dr. Still's parents' name? And that would be Levin and Charity Still, or Sydney Still. And then the last question was, name one of the siblings. And that could have been Mary, Kitty, William, Peter, Levin. Oh Lord Jesus! I gotta go to the other 17, but that any of the siblings that you could think of, and
you can't forget
the
siblings. You're Dr. James Still.
Well, listen, now you want me to sit there? My mind—it's been a long time. Now I gotta sit there and try to remember them. You see, here was at dinner time trying to remember everybody's name, and everybody's name is—we shortened the names.
Now,
In
terms of the reenactment that you do, is there anything in particular? Do you actually go through a skit, like, you know, I am Dr. James Still? Do you actually go through something, or are you just sort of representative of him in sort of like modern-day form?
No, I actually do a lot of research. I study the family. I sit down and I talk to various members of the family to get a lot of background knowledge. And then I will spend a lot of time in research as far as whatever literary sources are available, and I will read them. And then I will pick out various stories out of those resources and use them in my presentation. I don't have a one script that I always tell, because you never know what type of situation you're going to be in. And I want to make sure that I'm versed with the family's history. So that particular person, I make sure that I am well-versed in that particular person's entire family history. So, and because then again, you never know who's going to walk up to you and ask you a question. And if I'm portraying a particular person, I want to make sure I know the history of the family and I have an answer pertaining to that particular person that I'm portraying at the time.
Mm-hmm. Now, maybe I can ask for your help with something. I have spoken to a few people now, members of the Still family, and, you know, some of them are historians. They know a lot about the history, but it has not been electronically documented. You can't go
mm-hmm.
on a website, or you cannot go on YouTube and find people talking about the history or people doing reenactment. There was another lady who did a reenactment skit for me over the phone. I want to encourage you, if at all possible, as someone who's done interviews of the family, if it is at all possible to kind of centralize it either on a website or even maybe easier on a YouTube page where you can post these videos of these interviews. So I think it's so important for someone like me, who before Leslie Gist of the Gist of Freedom, I did not know about the Still family. I did watch 12 Years a Slave. I heard them mention the name, didn't think of it in terms of any, you know, significance. And when you go online and you do some research, not only would it be great to see that information on like a centralized website, but to hear from descendants who are talking about the history, who want to pass that knowledge on. You know, I used to work in television, and, you know, for a television producer who wanted to find information about a descendant or something, they would just go to YouTube or the internet and do some searches. And if that information was there, it would be much easier for them to reach out and get people to contact about the family. So I'm encouraging you, if at all possible, to you know, when you do these interviews, if you can document them maybe with a video camera and then post them to the web so people can have access to them.
Okay. That's a good idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I will
this,
do that.
This is my little tidbit.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
All right. Yeah, okay. Thank you so much.
All right.
So I'm happy to have spoken with you. I appreciate your time.
All right. Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
Thank you. All right. So this is Roy Paul with the Gifts of Freedom Block Talk Radio Show. You're just listening to several members of the Still family, including other members who are doing things like reenactment and other things to try to promote the family history of the Still legacy. You can access this podcast, and we will be surely to upload more information about links or email addresses that you might have heard throughout the duration of this. This entire program is being sponsored by Audible.com. They are one of the leading audiobooks companies in the country. You can learn more about them the way that you're listening to our podcast right now. And if you go to www.blackhistoryaudiobooks.com, you can get a 30-day free trial of the program, their program, that is. That is www.blackhistoryaudiobooks.com. Again, Gifts of Freedom Audio Radio Book Show. I'm Roy Paul. Thank you, and God bless.